We'll reconvene for the administrative portion of the meeting. There are three items on the consent calendar. I move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Okay, that brings us then to the discussion portion. And we'll start with item number two.
Actually, Pat's in charge of that one, too.
Okay. Brian, can we go to number three there, the biomass PPAs?
Let's have Pat around for that, too.
I think all of them are Pat's.
How about the last one we could, number five, you want to jump into that?
The Otter Tail Power?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. Now I need to dig out my notes real quick. That, right now, the way the tariff language is written, it does not prohibit the use of the economic development rider. For instance, if there was a TIA case, that potential TIA case. So what it essentially means, Otter Tail could use this for a customer not currently in their service area. I like everything about the economic development rider. I think it's good to help attract business to the state or to incent existing businesses operating in the state to build or to expand. I think everything about it is good. And in principle, I like having that as a tool that a company can use to help grow the economy in North Dakota. However, it doesn't prohibit the way the language is written, that being used to potentially attract a customer who's not currently in their service area. That's the issue that I have with it. So,
are we
and
just
then,
deciding whether to have a work session?
Right, right.
Or
so I just.
Can we not. Was there talk about folding it into the rate case?
There was some talk.
I mean, that would be my preferred approach, but.
Mm-hmm.
That isn't.
Is that not feasible?
I don't think it is at this point.
So right now, my question is: do we want to have a work session? Because I'm not in favor of approving the language as written, simply because it could be used as a tool to attract business outside of the service area, and then we could wind up in a TIA case subsequently because of that. So that's where I'm at. I wanted to see where you two are at, if you wanted a work session to talk about it further or to just move forward with a motion.
I probably, because I think Alana has some pretty strong feelings about this that I'd like to have come out in a discussion and get more clarity from her, and I don't know that this is the venue for that, and I don't have any of the materials with me for this discussion purpose now, so
okay.
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
You think you would like a work session?
I think so, yeah. That's probably the best way to move ahead.
Okay.
Then I don't need to weigh in because we will pretty much always grant a commissioner.
We'll move this to scheduling.
Yes. Then, shall we just go back up to the top of the discussion?
Sure.
Agenda and go to the draft tree and shrub mitigation.
I'll pass that down to her. So I'll start and then Pat can jump in. But we, you guys know the history on this. So we're coming back with some draft changes here. If you guys are okay with the draft changes or want to make changes to them, we can. The idea here would be then to bring this forward into a stakeholder workshop. So do should we go through them right now? Do you want to, have you already done that? Do you want to offer suggestions? Do you want to set up a work session to talk about this? What would be your preference?
I have some thoughts. Did you want to go first, Brian? Or
no, go ahead.
I've gone through this, maybe not totally thoroughly, but perused it under the assumption that no matter what, we're going to have it the workshop, and so there'll be more work to be done on it. So I can lay out with you some questions or concerns that I have.
Okay. Should we have Pat explain the main changes
faster
first?
Than going through the whole thing, but if you'd like to do
there,
that.
There really isn't that many. There's only a couple of key changes. Can you just quickly go through the key changes, Pat? Substantive ones.
Okay. One of the key questions is number 8 on page 2, and that is the width of the clear cut through wind breaks, shelter belts for electric transmission lines.
Okay. And that really wasn't something that was central to our discussion with the folks that we've met with previously.
Right.
That was something brought to us by a company.
It was actually one of the first things that we thought about changing in the tree and shrub mitigation, and then since that time we had meetings with the other groups, the other stakeholders.
So this was one of my questions: why distinguish between the two and then write the exact same sentence?
I felt this was a way to get some input from the electric company.
A placeholder to see if there's a reason to have a different standard.
This is not necessarily our suggestion. It's just a way to get the conversation started.
Okay.
Then when we get to page 3, number 12, is where we really start to get into what we heard from the stakeholders. And the one of the major things was that one of the major concerns was that tree and shrub replacements, just going out and putting them anywhere wasn't going to work. It doesn't always work because the soil isn't necessarily suited for the types of trees that were being replaced. And so they wanted some flexibility. This is to get the conversation going about that, including, also along the way, I found a couple of reference documents that we could possibly incorporate into our tree and shrub specifications. We can take a look at those. I don't have copies of them with, but I can print them out and commissioners can look at them. Then on number 15, these are the changes that we heard about.
So just to provide the context. Oh, go ahead.
Can we jump back to 12 real quick?
Sure.
The one question I had, is the language species specific in terms of if you take out a Rocky Mountain juniper, you have to put in two Rocky Mountain junipers? Or is it you have to put in two for every one you take out?
It is fairly specific. Most of the companies will replace two for one what they took out.
Right, but
species.
But
then there are some species that are considered noxious, and so there was some flexibility there. So we've developed some flexibility on when we approve a plan filed by a company.
No,
we can approve some flexibility.
Right. But where in the language does it say that? I know most companies.
Wait, second line there.
Do
species
it.
Species or similar species.
Right, so
that's where they get that. Must be replaced by the same species or similar species. So that's where they read that to be they should replace them with the same ones. They don't want to always have to do that. They want flexibility. They prefer. And to some extent, the soil conservation folks thought this was a good idea too, because then there's a recognition that you're planting species that grow well for the soil that you're putting it in, because you're not putting it right back where they were taken out. So the soil is going to be different. So that was what drove that change, that flexibility. And again, our Bynapat, as we were working with and thinking about this, at least for me, I shouldn't speak for Pat, but my principle is let's provide more flexibility to the companies to work with the experts, who we are not, the experts at growing trees in the state and in the areas, so that they're getting what works there and what they want there. So that, I think, we've been pretty prescriptive, and I'd like our new guidelines to be a little less prescriptive, provide more flexibility for the locations and the types, so that we get good trees growing in large clusters and in a less onerous regulatory regime.
And I don't necessarily mind that. I will say, though, I think as the process plays out through the workshop and such, and I don't know if there'll be public comments after that, and I don't know my tree species as well enough to cite examples, but, you know, if you're tearing out a bunch of the last few of something remaining in the state, it's probably important to replace them. And you know, every bird isn't a whooping crane, but if you were doing something to whooping cranes, you'd want to address that different than every other bird. And I don't know if we have situations like that develop in these cases where there's something very rare in the state that needs extra protection or not. I don't have a recommendation, but it was just a thought that occurred on that subject.
So do you think that the soil conservation folks would not be equipped to provide the guidance in those cases?
They probably are, as long as they are aware that that's
their
what
job
they're looking for, or that it's clear that the companies need to be clear that we didn't just take out an evergreen tree, we took out this specific species, that it would maybe raise that point to the soil conservation people that are advising them or something.
Well, the other safeguard for that is in siting, in the siting process, when we scope out to the agencies, the Parks and Rec is the one responsible for those plants and that are unique and rare to North Dakota, and the companies are supposed to be identifying that and finding those ahead of time. That is probably more likely to be the time that's triggered.
That's a good point. That probably is covered by that step of the process. So, okay.
All right.
Okay. Commissioner Crochus, were you okay with 12? Any other questions there?
No, I'm okay.
All right. And then we heard a little bit about changing the monitoring of replanted trees and shrubs from stakeholders. And one of the ideas was that, you know, they be planted, and the timing was important too, I believe, if I remember right. The timing was that you order your replacements in the fall, plant them in the spring early enough that they would have the highest rate of success for survival, and that would be before mid-June. And again, this is up for a discussion at the workshop, but the timing would be plant them before mid-June, and then after the growing season, you would do a count on the survival. And then that would be in the fall, in September, October. You would then order replacements of the ones that did not survive, plant those replacements then in the next spring before mid-June, and then the question after that is whether there should be continuing monitoring to see how this program is working. Stakeholders believe that and you'll hear from them at the workshop that if we plant once, full growing season, and replace all the ones that did not survive, for another growing season, you would reach that 75% survival rate that we're always looking for in our tree and shrub plan.
This was, again, I think the biggest complaint that we heard from Basin, from the group that Ron Ness had together of industry folks, and even from the soil conservation people, is the monitoring of our current monitoring structure that drags us out for 3 years. So in practicality, it's not resulting in the best outcomes because, well, the companies don't like it because it's cumbersome and it drags on for a long time. And the soil conservation folks said that it's not ideal to have a 3-year stand of trees monitored after 3 years and the trees replaced the ones that die get replaced into an existing stand that's already grown for that long, and there's too much of a disparity between the trees at that point. So they didn't like it either. And they were the ones that came up with the idea that after the first year, especially McKenzie County, after the first year, you have a really good sense of whether they're going to make it or not. So they think that if you replace after that first growing season the dead ones, that you're going to get at the amount that you're going to need without requiring 2 more years of monitoring. So that was what drove that.
Is someone from the Forest Service or from the NRCS or someone, do we expect them to come to this workshop and go on the record?
We can invite them.
Certainly I believe we were going to invite the Soil mm-hmm. Conservation Service.
I think it's really important that we have that on record.
Forest Service and who else did you mention?
Well, the NRCS. Was that who you had mentioned that from McKenzie
Soil
County?
Conservation.
Soil Conservation.
Yeah.
So, and this may be a big difference between planting grass and planting trees. I don't have that much experience with planting trees mm-hmm. successfully. But, you know, with grass, you know, it seems I've had better luck seeding it in the fall than in the spring, actually, because in the spring, often you get in years like this where they don't get moisture then for months, and by then they just never start. And so I'm a little surprised that trees that we want to have them all in the spring as opposed to autumn plantings, but I'd like to hear that on the record from
sure.
those folks that are the experts, and then I'd be more satisfied. But it relates back to something from earlier that I thought I could wait with till the end, but now when it talks about this monitoring, I think we have to go back to number 11. When I read this, here's what jumps into my mind. So what is a sapling? We talk about 2-year-old saplings. So I just Googled the definition of sapling, and I got two different places with different definitions, and I'm really generalizing kind of longer definitions. One of them said that it's less than a 4-inch diameter at breast height. And one said 1 to 6 inch diameter at breast height. But on that second one, it said that is depending on the species, typically gets to that point at 3 to 15 years of age. So if we plant 2-year-old saplings, A, I don't know that they're still not seedlings as opposed to saplings, and B, by fall, most cases, I don't think they're even going to be breast height yet, much less, you know, to measure. And so just this whole definition of the 2-year-old saplings, I'm not sure that in most species a 2-year-old tree is even a sapling yet, that it's not a seedling. And so I think that needs to be clarified. If when we're going to write things in, the definitions have to be accurate.
Okay. Pat can make note of that for our discussion. That wasn't something that people seemed confused by, but it's a good point.
Yeah. Are we talking about that they've been sap they've met the definition of a sapling for 2 years already? Or are we talking about something that a seed was planted 2 years ago? I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
And then kind of on the same subject, depending on the age of that tree, you plant something now, which is what we'd be suggesting, by September. You know, if it's these little things that the soil conservation districts do, you know, you plant them, and I remember hoeing them as a kid, you know, they just look like a stick in the ground. It's not a big leafy thing like you buy at the nursery.
Right.
And if it's dead, I don't suppose it would be dried up like kindling wood in one summer. I don't know that you could even tell which ones were alive in September, if that's what we're planting. So I really need to hear from those experts. Mm-hmm.
All right, Pat, so we were done with 11, 12. We're down on the planting time. You walked through that. So you understand the theory there, right?
Then the only other one left is number 17 on page 4. That came up at a previous commission meeting. I don't know if it was an informal or if it was just a work session or what, but when a company does the construction, they can just trim all the shrubs to the ground, and then they can push that topsoil off, preserve it with the root of the shrubs in it, and then when they put it back, it's supposed to revegetate the shrubs. That's the concept. We don't know if that really works, and so there was a suggestion that there be some monitoring on that. We'll hear from the experts on that too.
That's the one that I don't, that's not making it simpler, that's making it more complicated, because now they have to go out twice to monitor, right, Pat?
Well, I did rewrite this a little bit so that it's inspected in September.
So they can...
But it would be the September
after. So at the same time. Okay, sorry, I missed that.
It would be the September after they, you know, replace the topsoil.
Okay, yep. So it should be the same time that they're going out to monitor the trees.
Depending on when they get around to planting the trees.
Yeah.
But it would be the same time of the year that the inspections would all be in September.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to know. I don't know what you'd expect to see in 1 year. You'd spread a bunch of topsoil around with some roots mixed in there.
That maybe that's
upside down. They might be right side up, or they might be sideways.
25%
1 year
chance.
Later,
right.
You're going to see a nice 4 foot brush.
Underground brush.
I don't know what that inspection expects to see. But maybe I do think that in most of these prairie areas, if you do that, the brush is going to come back. It always does if you don't. So I don't know.
Do you want it to be inspected or not? I do not feel strongly about that one.
I don't really either. I'd like to hear from Forest Service or NRCS people.
Okay. NRCS is not the same as soil conservation, is it?
Well,
NRCS is National Resource...
And the others are the county.
Conservation Service, Natural Resource Conservation Service. That's...
Federal versus...
That's local. Federal, yeah. Those guys are the USDA NRCS folks. We're talking soil conservation, so if you really want the NRCS there, we have not consulted with them at all.
I use those kind of interchangeably.
Okay.
I mean the local...
Soil conservation.
Local or state people. We don't need the federal people in here.
That's who we've been communicating with. So, but we haven't talked to Forest Service. We can reach out to them as well.
State Forest Service.
State, yeah. Yeah.
And they indicated that, well, we'll do that, but they also County Soil Conservation Services indicated that they work closely with Forest Service, too.
Okay.
So we're that pretty, covered there.
We're pretty okay. good there. Sorry, I don't know those agencies as well as I should.
I'm still trying to get my arms wrapped around the whole roots being upside down thing. <It's>
Was that poorly explained, I take? Are we ready for scheduling on that?
I think so. Right, Pat? We don't have any changes that you guys are requesting to the language. We can move forward with this.
Discussion for the workshop, and we haven't scheduled a workshop or sent out any invitations or anything. So if you want to schedule one.
We'll add it to
scheduling. If you're ready, we can add it to scheduling. Just a question for Pat or Alana. This is just having to do with the projects and getting them started again. Is years down the road now, you've got a power line that's been there for 25 years and a bunch of this brush and trees have sprouted up and they'd like them out of their right of way and they come and clear. Is that a completely separate thing or is that in the same area of rules?
It is different from this. This is just about clearing during construction. But oftentimes in the siting order, we will say something about the amount of, well, sometimes we'll say something about the amount of right-of-way that will be kept clear for the life of the project.
So I just heard another complaint last week about the way someone's right-of-way was cleared, that they just, that particular company really left a mess for this guy who said he would never allow another thing to come through again after this. So I don't know if it should be addressed during this. I don't want to overly complicate something that we really probably need to work on with this. But
sounds like a follow-up to a siting order kind of issue.
Okay. Well, let's add this to siting or to scheduling.
She drives too fast.
Okay, number two then, the NSP ADP. Pat, I think
which
we're
one
looking.
Are you on?
Number
two?
Yep.
Two. Okay. So we have two NSP wind generation cases. There's the 1550 megawatts and the 302.4 megawatts. Cases. And the 1550 megawatt case was much farther along when the tax reform, let's call it Tax
right.
Reform Act, came up. And the company said that they were going to file updated numbers on the benefits of these two, benefits and costs of these two wind ADPs. Advocacy staff would like to keep their consultant to review those updated numbers and analyze the impact. The thing is that on the 1,550 megawatt case, the consultant contract has, I think there's like $26 left in the contract itself. And in the case itself, there is $16,189. So we're pretty sure that additional dollars would be needed if we do use the consultants to analyze those updated numbers. In the other case, we're sitting better. We're better off there. For the consulting services contract, there's still about $78,000 left there. And for the balance of the fee would be that $78,000 plus $38,000, about $100,000 of the fee left. That one we would not need to ask for additional dollars or try to find additional dollars. So the thought was that we would have to go to the Emergency Commission. That was my first thought, was go to the Emergency Commission on the 1550 case and ask for additional application fee.
What was the amount, Pat, again, that we talked about last week on that?
The amount of additional dollars?
Right.
Well, we're not absolutely sure. Victor was going to visit with the consultants and get a number, but he hasn't. That hasn't happened yet. He's visited with them, but they haven't gotten back with a number. We were thinking about $50,000,
right,
if I remember right.
Yep. And this is not being driven from our end, but not directly. It's the result of
the tax.
Of change. Having to circle back on around now in the tax change.
Right.
So is there a sense legally that we can, if the company is willing, that we can merge these two cases together and use the excess in, I don't remember the case number, that 304 megawatt case, use that filing fee money to assist with the shortfall of filing fee money in the 1550 megawatt case?
Is there a sense from whether we could do that legally? Is that?
Yeah. If we're willing and the company's willing, is that an option?
I think the company is willing. I'm not sure how strict the that Emergency Commission requirement is.
Well, maybe we wouldn't have to go to the Emergency Commission.
Merging.
Right, yeah, but like, I guess if we're bumping up against using all the application fee in a case, does that law say that we have to go to the Emergency Commission?
Only if we need more money.
We need more money.
The law doesn't say anything about merging. We have a rule on merging, and the rule is if there's similar issues of law and fact, so the tax consequences are similar, but how they're applied to this wind project or that wind project or whatever, totally different. I think it would be pretty obvious here that the only reason you were merging was because of the money issue, and there is a statutory alternative to the money issue, which is to go to the Emergency Commission. So I guess I would not recommend trying to merge them. One's way farther along. There's a settlement in it already, is there not?
Yes.
The other one, I could get a little better opinion to you later, but my instinct is it's probably not a legitimate basis to consolidate just to use that money. And then I was going to ask, is that enough money for both?
Well, how much would you ask for, Pat?
If we went going to the Emergency Commission, our first initial estimate.
Well, we talked about 50, but then we also talked about not wanting to have to circle back again. So it's, you don't want to ask for so much that it raises the question on, well, you're just asking for far more than you need, but we don't want to run short either. Although a lot of the legwork has been done from the consultant, they're just reviewing this portion, although it does weave back into some of the other elements that have already been reviewed.
I was hoping to have something back from the consultant by this morning, but we haven't heard back yet.
In terms of how much?
In terms of price. Dollars, yeah.
Well, I'm not hearing much for options. I mean, we have to thoroughly review this before we can make a decision this big, and we can't help that the federal tax law changed, and I'm understanding that the company would probably not oppose an Emergency Commission request to seek more funds, and so all I'm hearing is a matter of determining the dollar amount that we probably need to do that.
Yep. And when is the next Emergency Commission meeting?
So it's going to be toward the end of June.
Okay.
And 3 weeks before that, we have to have the paperwork in.
So we'd be able to meet that deadline?
We would be able to meet that.
Okay.
But we need to move quickly on it.
Right.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Are you clear on that, Pat?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. We will move to B3 then. That is the biomass PPAs.
Okay.
Pat?
Possibly.
Well,
maybe you can explain
this. Are you speaking for Jerry, I assume, on this one, and then I can dovetail in?
And I think Alana has maybe something to share, too.
Okay, good.
On the biomass cases, so the three biomass, ADP and deferred accounting cases, we have a request for a hearing from this loggers group. It's called the Associated Contract Loggers and Truckers of Minnesota.
Didn't we already have a request for a hearing? I mean, didn't we already have a hearing on this?
We did. We had a hearing, and then we had a hearing on settlement. The settlement included something that was not contemplated. It was an ADP for the Laurentian case. It was included in the settlement.
And they both requested.
Wasn't noticed.
That wasn't noticed. So we issued another notice, opportunity to request a hearing, and then we got this request.
And when did that, was it within the time? Was it within the time?
Yep.
Okay. How long ago did that come in? Gosh, it seems like eons ago that we dealt with this.
Early May, May 2 and May 4, there's two sets of comments and two requests, similar, laborers related to the industry. And response from both NSP and staff. NSP filed a written response to the request, and
okay.
Staff said, yeah, we agree. So that would have been a couple weeks after guessing.
Generally, that written response was that the groups that were requesting a hearing don't really have status here.
Yes, I think they probably, I don't know if it's that obvious, but, you know, one of them is the, okay, on the fuel adjustment part, that's probably a really good argument because that's a ratepayer kind of a question. How do you get this money from ratepayers, this way or that way? On the prudence, you know, one of these groups of people represents laborers from the Laurentian power plant. So, or not laborers, but suppliers, I think. So there may be a notch more interest there. I'm not saying that it's obviously guaranteed, but it's not the same kind of an analysis or the same question.
Did we have an ALJ in this case when we had the...
We did.
Already? We did.
Yes.
You said yes. So
no, yeah, we do. They close their cases fairly soon after the hearing's over, but they can be reopened.
So when we had a recent TIA case and there was a intervention request, we relied on the ALJ to make that determination.
Yes, we did.
Is that what we've usually done on cases like that where an ALJ is involved, or have we usually made those decisions and that was an exception in that TIA case?
That was not an exception on the intervention and the rehearing, which I think there was a request for rehearing or something, or reconsideration of the intervention denial or something.
Right.
That, of course, you didn't have any new issues. That's number one. We have traditionally asked for maybe 15 years, we have traditionally asked the ALJ to make those intervention requests. This one I see is slightly different. You can defer it to the ALJ, and I will ask them to reopen, but I see it as slightly different. This is more like when you do a notice of opportunity, and we've only had a handful that I can remember, like in a citing case or a transfer or waiver or something, where you have a comment, a member of the public commenting and asking for a hearing. I remember like two, maybe. Mm-hmm. Pat could be
I think
a
this
more
is
thorough.
One that we usually decide.
Yeah.
And what's your recommendation, Alana?
Well, I don't have a recommendation per se. I do think on the fuel adjustment that there's no basis on that particular question. And I only saw possibly, if you look at this one from the one with the acronym, the ACLT people, if you look on the third page of their comments, number 6 and 7 might have some relationship to prudence of Laurentian. And I think if you're going to, that doesn't mean there's enough relationship or enough basis to give a hearing, but most of what they said is totally outside the scope of what you're doing. They're talking about economic costs to, or impact to Minnesota. That is not fuel adjustment. That is not prudence of what you decide here for North Dakota. So those are easily saying not a basis. These two, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, I think we might take some time and work through those two and see how much of a connection to the concept of Laurentian's prudence is in those two bullet points, and then whether it's enough to merit that you think you want more.
So my,
work session then.
My initial thought is that I'm could kind of go either way with probably just agreeing with the portfolio holder, whether we decide it or whether turn it over to the ALJ. If we decide it, I don't think it should be here under discussion. What would we have a work session and then come out of that and followed at our next meeting with a motion on whether we were granting them a hearing or not? Is that the procedure that it would
right.
go through?
Right. If you were granting, of course, you'd probably have a notice of hearing ready with that motion. And if you weren't, you would have a motion denying.
Okay. So I'm fine with us deciding it. Or
let's schedule a work session and then discuss the third and fourth points.
Yeah, and there might be more in there. Somebody could correct me, but those are the two that jumped out at me.
So move to scheduling for a work session.
Yep. Okay, and then number four, the
sure.
The NSP electric rate case here.
Right, this is the RTF group of cases, resource treatment framework. The commission last issued a notice of intent to close the cases. The NSP and advocacy staff filed comments. NSP comments indicated they would like the case, the proceeding to continue. And however, before the commission makes a decision whether it would want to close the cases or not, NSP also requested an informal hearing before that decision would be made. And so I put it on the agenda to decide for the commission to decide if they wanted an informal.
I definitely think we should have an informal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the purposes of intent to close, to see where what the company's position was, and I think we should honor that.
Okay, so move that to scheduling. I see nothing else on discussion because we did five first. So let's jump to scheduling, and I can hold off on this, or if we're going to address it, I think we should address it first before we mess it up already. I laid out some proposed meeting dates because we're getting within a few months of as far as we've scheduled them. And so did you both get a chance to look at those closely enough to?
No, I didn't.
I did not.
So you want to wait with that till the next meeting?
Sure.
Okay. I'm going to be watching it here a little to try and avoid these, though, because I worked pretty hard on it. Okay, so
dates are fantastic.
Number one, the XL Energy. Or, well, is there any of these that you wanted to take first? these things that we just discussed, because the PI meeting is probably the least impact with the timing of it. So of these other four things that we just talked about, anyone have requests to go earlier or later? Hearing none, let's start with, in the order that we added them, the Otter Tail Power Economic Development Rider.
I'll be back in 30 seconds. I need to get a charger on this.
Okay. Anyone have a recommended date or time frame? Kind of looking at you, Pat.
Do I have a specific date? Early, I guess, in June, early, before the 22nd, pretty much any of those days.
What's the, why the 22nd?
On the 22nd, I'm going to be on annual leave.
Oh.
In June. For, let's see, until, I'll be back on Tuesday the 26th.
How about the week of the 11th?
I had timed out here, so just I'm getting the calendar up. What date, what week did you say, Julie?
The 11th, Monday the 11th or Tuesday morning the 12th. I got the 14th is good.
The 12th would work for me.
I cannot do it on the 12th.
14th?
The morning.
If there were another alternative, I'd like it better, but I could do the 14th.
Or even early afternoon.
15th. The 11th was out for you, Randy.
No.
Was the 11th out for you?
No. 11th is.
What's wrong with the 11th then?
I think the 11th is good.
Okay, let's fill it. We've got a lot of dates for.
How long do we think that's going to take? The Otter Tail Economic Development, is that going to be an hour?
I think it would be done in an hour.
I think so. I mean, we're just basically talking
about.
About
2 o'clock.
Okay.
2 o'clock, June 11th.
They don't want to.
Do we want to look at, while we've got that date, what about this work session for the biomass, too?
So that was B3? Yeah, because that's the tree and shrub mitigation. I think we need more in a short
period.
Yeah,
right.
So at 3, then? Is that what you said?
Sure.
Work for you, Brian?
Absolutely.
That's for the biomass?
Biomass work session, yep.
Did you say 6:12?
I mean 11, sorry. 6:11.
Okay.
Is that an hour?
Yes. Then the tree and shrub mitigation plan. Do we have any notice? Any time from now till June 22nd again? Is that?
Well, that one will. Can we find the informal time for the NSP? Is that an easy one? I'm thinking we need some time to invite these people for the tree and shrub. That's the challenge with that. So
yeah.
It needs to be. It might need to even be July, if you're out. Because we're still. Maybe the week of the 18th we could do something before you go, except for I'm in MISO for a couple days that week.
Of which week?
Of the week of June 18th. So it sounds like the week of the 11th. That's probably too soon anyway.
Which days are you out that week? That's why my calendar looks pretty good that week.
And then 19th, 20th, and 21st.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got, on the 11th, we have two scheduled right now.
Yeah.
And we're here all day.
But that's too soon for us to get all those people here, I think.
For the tree and shrub.
For the tree and shrub.
No, I'm sorry. Hang on a second. I was actually jumping back down to the NSP.
That's the informal, though. Well, I guess we could.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Never mind.
Special day for an
you could schedule a could. Special day, but you could just tack it on a meeting. Too.
We haven't scheduled one on the, it looks like to me, on June 27th. There's one blocked off, but there's nothing identified for it.
Do we have one on the 13th?
Yes.
That's scheduled.
Yep,
so we could take care of that informal on June 27th. Does that work for you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
just a minute before you write it down, though.
I think so.
If we wanted that before Pat left, though, can we do two informals on the 13th?
We already have two.
Yeah, oh, that one's pretty booked up
so
already.
So that one's not going to go. Okay, so the 27th will work for me, though.
You're gone that time, Pat, but...
On the 27th, I'll be here.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, the informals are on...
The one informal, number four, is June 27th. Okay, so that's done. Cross that one off. That one's done. That one's done. That one's done. All we have left is the tree and shrub and the XL pie meeting.
So, when do you want
what
recommend the tree and shrub?
What about? Gosh, 15th? Is that? Are you guys? That doesn't work. June 15th.
That works for me.
The morning or?
Morning would be my preference.
Like 10 on the 15th?
Well, mid-morning. So we're not just talking, we're talking mid.
Well, these people will be driving from out of town, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, if that.
And the 14th doesn't work, right?
For me, the 14th works up until I would probably need to be on the road by 2:30, maybe 3 at the latest.
I can't remember if that was a bad day for you, the 14th.
Oh, actually, you know what? 2 o'clock, I'd probably want to be on the road.
Because it would be nicer to not have this.
But any time in the morning, it's wide open for me.
The 14th and 15th are about equally bad, so I could do the 14th, I guess, as easily as the 15th.
Does 10 o'clock work for you on the 14th?
Yeah.
Okay.
What did we, was there a problem on the 12th?
Yeah, that doesn't work for Brian.
Okay.
Is that right?
Right, yeah, the 12th.
Will okay, be tied so up. The 14th at 10? For the tree and shrub mitigation, right?
And that gives us, you know, we should be able to get notices out. That gives us them a couple weeks. We'll try, and then if some of the key players aren't available that day, we might have to reschedule because I don't think we can just throw it out there and say show up. And
yeah.
And if nobody shows up, we'll just have to reschedule it anyways.
Yeah.
So let's try that date, the 14th at 10.
Okay, and then the pie meeting.
Was there proposed dates? July, August, or early September?
Pretty general.
What about the morning of the 19th? We've got a of July. Because we've got a monthly budget update and director's meeting scheduled that day.
Sure.
So that suggests that we're around.
It's okay for me.
Well, we'll be coming back from Nehruk, I presume, on Wednesday.
Yeah.
I haven't scheduled that yet or anything. I don't know what their agenda is, but are we going to be...
I'm leaving there at 1:30 on Wednesday.
Necessarily do that much preparation for PI meetings.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
It's good for me.
Me too.
Do we schedule us for 2 hours?
No, hour is it? Hour and a half? Well, maybe it is 2 hours.
I think it is 2 hours. I think it's what we've had in the past. Okay. So, yeah.
So like 10?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, and just one more time on my proposed meeting schedules. We'll do the bulk of these next meeting when everybody has more chance to look. But one thing I would like to address, and hey, I hate this too, but we're scheduled for a meeting on July 10th on a Tuesday. That is the NDATC conference that I was really hoping to attend.
The whole thing?
Well, it starts Monday evening, Monday afternoon, and goes into Wednesday. But as much as I dislike having our meetings on Mondays, I'm wondering if we could make an exception and move that to July 9th.
Say the date again, Randy. Monday.
July 9th.
July 9th.
I'm guessing it'll be a pretty short agenda and that we'll probably have most of the stuff on it by the 3rd already.
I might have to do it remotely. Oops, I might have to do it remotely, but I could make it work. So,
you're okay with that?
Yeah.
Brian?
I'm okay with that. Then we should probably take the informal hearing hold off the calendar as well, yeah. Then.
So we've never scheduled anything for that informal. I hadn't even thought about that, but that's still open, right?
Yep.
Well, just so no one, someone isn't looking at the calendar later thinking.
Yeah, so let's, we will move the meeting then to 10 o'clock. Would a different time, of either a little earlier or a little later in the day, make any difference to you, Julie? Or?
Nah.
Okay, so the meeting will be 10 o'clock July 9th. And there will be no informal on the 9th or the 10th.
Okay.
That clear? Okay. Anything else? We are adjourned.